break between stops. According to the union, many carriers had to work overtime to keep up with the computer, and 38 heart attacks are attributed to carriers trying to meet the machine's standards. In negotiations over the weekend, Rademacher said, the post office caved in to union demands and the Kokomo plan was dumped. Doug Ross, Key Radio News, 85.
Former Texas Governor John
Conway. Management efforts to destroy the Postal Service.
Although we are weary of the expression, professionalism is the only answer. The letter carrier who cases his mail according to the contract, who makes his deliveries in accordance with his own established pace, is the letter carrier who will survive his career and enjoy his retirement. Those who succumb to management speed-up tactics are not concluding their careers in a healthy condition, if at all.
Maker says management has only dollar signs in their eyes and only looks at the loss ledger and orders cutbacks in service. At the Albert Thomas Convention Center at Weinstock, Key Radio News 85.
Three new bus routes were inaugurated by the Houston
Yard to set forth a discovery list that we would like. Then the judge is going to take the matter of discovery under control, both on domicile issue, the validity of the will issue, the suit to determine heirship issue, and at a later time, after he sees the magnitude of the discovery, it's my understanding he then will set a trial date. I understood that he probably would set a trial date on all issues at the same time.
Judge Gregory deferred the recommended trial date of December 6th, saying he wants to see how the discovery proceedings go in the interim. Public health officials have confirmed a will. Texas Attorney General John Hill represented the interests of the Lone Star State in the proceedings and told Key Radio
he deferred setting an exact trial date here in Texas. We had asked for a trial for December 6th, but he indicated, and I think probably wisely so, that, well, let's see what progress we make on our discovery schedule, and then I will re-entertain the question of setting the trial date. But in the meantime, I'll see how you get along. But he did make it clear that he would be very unhappy with anyone dragging their feet as far as discovery was concerned.
Hill wants Hughes declared a Texas resident so the state can collect $300 million in taxes on an estate valued at more than $2.5 billion. Opposing parties want Hughes declared a Nevada resident. Murder charges have been filed against the 38-year-old man in connection with the...
is in this Hughes will contest, including domicile, including the issue of estoppel by adoption that's being asserted by some of the heirs. All of those issues he indicated he would try here in Texas, inasmuch as those who... are now apparently not too happy about being in Texas are the very ones who invoked the jurisdiction of this court, and he intends to go forward with it.
A trial date for December 6th had been requested of Judge Gregory. However, the judge deferred, saying he'd rather wait and see how the discovery proceedings go before setting a trial date. Statistics released
in his court without interfering or delaying whatever Judge Hayes might want to do in Nevada. After all, discovery, whether it emanates out of this court or any other court, will be directed at the very same issues. So I do not believe that that's inconsistent. And to the extent the courts may have any difficulties, that's something they can resolve, of course, among themselves.
A trial date of December the 6th has been requested of Judge Gregory, but the judge preferred to wait and see how the discovery proceedings go before setting a definite trial date. Officials from Houston Lighting and Power Company met this morning with leaders from the Wallace and Seeley areas to tell them the nuclear power plant ideas.
I'm Bill Wirth, the attorney for Annette and William Loomis, the only surviving blood relatives of Howard Hughes.
We're two representatives from the district office of the Texas Water Quality Board at Deer Park. One representative,
and I think probably wisely so, that, well, let's see what progress we make on our discovery schedule, and then I will re-entertain the question of setting the trial date. But in the meantime, I'll see how you get along. But he did make it clear that he would be very unhappy with anyone dragging their feet as far as discovery was concerned.
Hill wants Hughes declared a Texas resident so the state can collect some $300 million in taxes on an estate valued at more than $2.5 billion. Opposing parties want Hughes declared
a Nevada resident as well. This is Harley Kimes, Key Radio, News 85.
With continuing news at 4:35 from Key Radio News 85, I'm Jarrett Day. The Loch Ness Monster may have a cousin alive and well and living in Switzerland. The tabloid newspaper Blick in Zurich reporting that a dragon-like monster emerged snorting on the surface of Lake Uri last Saturday in sight of dozens of witnesses. The alleged monster was said to have made his appearance some 300 yards from the shore. Photos taken at long range reportedly show a dark, humped object in the water. The publication Blick printed an enlargement of the snapshot of the monster alongside a similar picture purported to depict Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster. The newspaper said that the two photos appeared amazingly alike, both of them showing serpent-like heads and humped backs. Blick quoted a local boat attendant as saying that suddenly I saw an object in the water about 15 meters long, 2 meters high. The attendant added, I saw from the side a head and a humped back like a dinosaur. New clinical evidence unveiled today for a rabies vaccine that researchers say is superior to the painful and often dangerous vaccines now used to combat the dread disease. The new vaccine could be available in the United States next year. The vaccine developed by researchers headed by a team of doctors at Philadelphia's Wistar Institute. It's already in use in Europe. The Wistar vaccine is said to cause only slight, if any, side effects and can be given in a total of 6 injections.
Hi, y'all. This is Sheriff with a vacation idea from E.F. Johnson Company. You know, you folks are going to be hopping the old family car heading off on your vacation soon. So now would be a real good time to pop into your Johnson CB dealer and check out his lineup of Johnson CB radios. Why, believe me, them Johnson CBs are nice company to have along when you're out adventuring.
Houston area Johnson CB dealers have a wide selection of Johnson CB radios.
Tell them the sheriff sent you. 10-4. Oh, FCC license required.
In Humboldt, Texas, stop by Op CB Sales at 312 Main Street, COP or Stu for complete CB radios, service antennas, and installation. Or at Lamarck CB in Lamarck. Take the Boucher exit of the Gulf Freeway to Cedar and Lake. Your complete CB and accessory store open nights until 8, all day Saturday. Free antennas with a Johnson CB. In Houston, it's North Shepherd CB, 7115 North Shepherd, 2 blocks south of Little York Road and I-45. Easy off, easy on, where you'll find sales, service, installation, and a complete technician shop, a CB store you'll want to visit. The year 1976 has become an important one for the future of the nuclear power industry. At least 6 states will vote in November on measures which seek to severely curtail or even stop the building of atomic power plants in the United States until they are proven safe. The states of Arizona, Ohio, Montana, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington will have proposals on their state ballots which are similar to the California Nuclear Safeguards Initiative defeated last June. Most of the upcoming proposals mandate that all construction on nuclear power plants must cease until state legislatures are satisfied the plants will operate safely. In addition, the initiatives in each of the 6 states call for adequate facilities nationally to dispose of radioactive waste, something the government itself cannot now guarantee. And the public will be fully compensated for damages from any accident. The last provision conflicts with the federal law, which limits company liability to $560 million in any accident, no matter how severe. 17-year-old Annette Brooks is having a hard time resting in peace. Brooks has been sleeping for the past few weeks on the front porch of her Cleveland, Ohio home in a shiny new metal coffin. However, Brooks's unusual sleeping quarters has finally brought a storm of protest from her neighbors who picketed outside the Brooks home, demanding that the coffin be taken away because it was scaring the old people. Police were called in this week to clear a traffic jam created by pickets and about 80 onlookers who gathered outside to peer at the defiant young woman. Officers told the crowd that there were no laws against sleeping in a coffin. Brooks, in the meantime, says she has no intention of changing her sleeping habits. She says she plans to remain snoozing in her coffin until the weather gets cold.
I think what the neighbors ought to do is take some cough drops. That's the best way I know to get rid of coughing. We do have some traffic tie-ups this afternoon. Nothing of any major consequence yet, except over in the Southwest Freeway, we have a couple accidents within just about a mile of each other, both outbound on the Southwest Freeway. The first one you'll see is at South Shepherd Drive. The other one is just past that one exit at Kirby Drive, both of them causing a few problems for outbound traffic. It is going to be rather slow and sluggish. Now, get past Kirby Drive, it makes pretty good speeds, and you have a little slowdown around the loop, and we still have that inbound traffic slow also on the Southwest Freeway from Hillcroft in through just about the Loop Interchange. Not stop and go, but it is rather slow. Also, we've had a minor at the intersection of 59 and 45 near the elevated portion. Also, minors in the 4700 block of Calhoun, 7800 block of Avenue F in the southeast part of town. Fannin at Gray, Lee at Edwards, Westheimer at McHugh, Dorwayne at Federal Road, and also in the 13,000 block of Greens Bayou. Let's check out the north side of town, go out to the North Loop, and Sarah Sharpless.
Both eastbound and westbound traffic on the North Loop is somewhat heavy, not real heavy, but a little heavy, but it's moving at about the speed limit. Sarah Sharpless, Q-Radio traffic.
Gulf Freeway is still pretty heavy from town out through about Telephone Road, and the Katy is slowing down still around the loop, but you can get by and stick with it. Drive carefully in the Key Radio Traffic Center. I'm Jeff Miller.
Key Radio News, time 4:41.
This is it, the biggest men's suits reduction in the city of Houston. Men's Suits Unlimited. Men's Suits Unlimited, 6445 Westheimer, continuing their once-a-year 30 to 50% off sale right now. The entire stock of quality menswear is on sale. Every suit in the store is on sale. That's right, every suit. Leafy's festive suit, Swedish knits, gabardines, 100% polyester, and they start as low as $48. Entire stock of leisure suits from just $24. Ties, $2. Dress shirts by Accello, Damon, Van Heusen, and Manhattan, $6 each. That's all. And all slacks, only $10 each. The entire stock of sports coats, only $24. Leisure shirts, $8 each. That's at Men's Suits Unlimited, 6445 West Summer. Men's Suits Unlimited, just one block east of the intersection of Hillcroft and Boss. Your store for quality suits at low, low prices. And don't forget, that good old personal service, too. They're open Thursday and Friday night till 9 at Men's Suits Unlimited, 6445 West Summer. That's Men's Suits Unlimited.
Distant weather, partly cloudy at warm with a chance of afternoon and evening thundershowers. Some locally heavy through tomorrow. Low tonight near 70 to high tomorrow, low 90s. 20% chance of rain tonight, 40% Friday. For Galveston Bay and vicinity, bay water is slightly choppy to occasionally choppy. On the Hurricane Derby, if you have your Key Radio tracking map out, Hurricane Francis, or tropical storm, whichever the case might be, has turned towards east-northeast, but there's no threat to land at this time. At 5 o'clock, we're a little bit ahead of schedule here, but they cheat an awful lot at the National Hurricane Center. They say it's at 5 o'clock, even if it is only 4:42. The center of Francis is estimated near latitude 28.8 north and at longitude 46.2 west. It has turned toward the east-northeast to 10 to 15 miles an hour. The highest sustained winds around 100 miles an hour, gales extending outward 150 miles in all directions. And we'll repeat that position, 28.8 north and 46.2 west for Hurricane Francis. Meanwhile, Emmy has turned toward the northeast and the Azores are threatened. Emmy right now is chucking along with winds running about 75 miles an hour, gales extending outward about 250 miles to the south and 150 to the north. Emmy is located near latitude 34.5 north, longitude 29.0 west, which makes it 250 miles south of the nearest Azores Islands. The hurricane is moving towards the northeast between 10 and 15 miles an hour. It's expected to remain on the course until this evening, and little change in its strength is expected during the next 24 hours. So repeating that position for Emmy, 34.5 north and 29.0 west. Here in Houston, the barometric pressure 30.03, winds are out of the north-northwest at 6, relative humidity 82%, partly cloudy and 83 on the beach in Galveston, cloudy and 79 at Key Radio News 85.
Hey, what's the trouble zone?
Trouble zone?
That's the area between the Foxy Mama Club and the pool hall.
Get on with your bad self. For food poisoning, the trouble zone is when you leave food out for more than 2 hours between 40 degrees and 140.
That's the trouble zone?
You got it. Just a little something I picked up on in a free pamphlet. I wrote to Food Safety, USDA, Washington 20250.
Solid. Well, guess I'll bring you on down to the Foxy Mama Club.
Yeah, that's the double trouble zone.
Updating the headlines from Key Radio News 85, the question of whether Howard Hughes was a Texan is on the mind of a Houston probate judge today. A hearing underway in Austin as three federal judges hear from former Minnesota Senator Eugene McCarthy. He wants to be listed on the Texas general election ballot as an independent candidate for president. A Marine captain who supervised Private Lynn McClure's training platoon wants to clear his record. The devaluation of the peso has hurt shopping in border towns. with the value of the Mexican currency slashed 38% because of the government's decision to float the peso. Mexican buyers are finding they don't get as much for the money as they did yesterday. And in American cities like Eagle Pass, merchants saw their usual flood of foreign customers dry to a trickle. Ben Wilson is your afternoon editor. We're here with Mike Byrne, Holly Carnes, John McLeod, and Jeff Miller. I'm Jarrett Day. Mothers have sometimes been accused of trying to live their daughters' lives, but there is a recorded instance where the daughter lived a mother's life, literally. And that's today's episode of The Unexplained. When Mary Bailey, an Ottawa Indian, died on May 12, 1976, the world was reminded of one of the strangest stories ever recorded. It began more than a century ago when an Indian woman, the mother of a young daughter, fell ill. It soon became obvious that the young mother was going to die. Neither the sacrifice of a white dog nor the medicine of mission doctors could save her. Feeling herself going, the young mother had one final request to make of the great Algonquin god, Kaluskabi. She was not afraid of dying. Her spirit, she knew, would leave her body to inhabit the body of a fish. Her ghost would rise to walk along the well-marked trail of the Milky Way toward her final home in the sky. No, it was not to ask for a reprieve from death that the young mother looked toward Kaluskabi. What she had in mind was to ask that the years of her life, which were about to be taken away, be given to her daughter Mary. The false faith medicine men of the tribe gathered in their bearskin masks. They lit grandfather fire, whose smoke would carry the words of the dying woman's prayer to the god in the sky. They shook their tortoiseshell rattles, danced in the firelight, and chanted. Suddenly, the activity came to a stop. The woman whispered her prayer for her child into the silence. The words were carried upward on wisps of wood smoke. Then, having made her peace, Mary's mother died. Were her prayers answered by Kaluskabi? Did her daughter inherit the stolen years from her mother? At the start of this episode, I told you that Mary Bailey died in May 1976. What I didn't tell you was she was 106 years old when she died. Perhaps she was just destined to lead a long life, or perhaps the question is best answered by The Unexplained. Key Radio News, time 4:47.
The gains of recent sessions came to a halt today, and the stock market was mixed, with the Dow lower but advancing issues in the lead. Trading was moderate, with 18,890,000 shares crossing the big board, and gainers leading decliners by about 7-6. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off 1.16 at 984.79. The market's gain in recent sessions had been due in part to anticipation of an encouraging wholesale price index for August. The index did decline when released today, but the drop was entirely because of a steep slide in the food component, while prices for industrial commodities went up. These factors appeared to be the main influences on today's market. On the MX,
American Stock Exchange volume today, 1,650,000 shares. The MX Market Value Index up 0.07 to 102.48. In options trading, contracts covering 3,035,000 shares were traded. This is Mary Cromer at the American Stock Exchange.
With the Business Barometer, I'm Alan Chartel.
Have you ever tried to find the news on Houston's music station?
News on the hour on one.
On the half hour on another.
20 minutes before the hour.
20 minutes after the hour.
10 minutes before the hour.
5 minutes before the hour.
25 minutes after the hour. And so it goes.
The way they keep hiding their news, you'd think the music stations were ashamed of their news.
Maybe they are.
Get the news, all of it, all day from Key Radio. When it comes to news, Key Radio News 85 says it all.
U.S. automakers are reporting their highest August passenger car production totals in 20 years. The big increase was due to the startup of new model production lines, which took place earlier than normal. Production rose by more than 8% over August of last year, with the biggest increase coming at General Motors. Meanwhile, American Motors has announced tentative price hikes averaging nearly 5.5% on its 1977 model cars. The company says it will boost the price of new model options by 6%. AMC officials say the price hikes will range from $150 to $922 a car. On the commodities market,
Al, there's some worry at the grain exchange that we may have a big problem with this year's corn and soybean crop because of a lack of moisture. That shot prices way up on the commodity markets today in Chicago. Soybeans were up 20 cents a bushel. That's the limit. Wheat, 4.75 to 7.5 higher. Corn, 1 to 6 higher. And oats, 4 to 4.75 higher. John Holliman, Washington.
The government's wholesale price index for all commodities declined by 0.1% in August after a rise of 0.3% in July. With the August drop, the WTI went back to the minus side for the first time since February. The reverse in the direction of prices was due to the farm products and processed foods and feeds indexes, both of which were down by 2.9%. Meanwhile, the industrial commodities index was up in August by 0.7%, the same increase as in July. On the over-the-counter market.
The over-the-counter market showed little movement today as the NASDAQ composite index closed at 90.68, up 0.09. Total volume of NASDAQ stocks traded was 6,065,000 shares. This is Pat Ballou of the OTC Information Bureau, Washington, D.C.
White House spokesman Ron Nelson says President Ford still supports William Seidman as presidential advisor on economic affairs, even though his former accounting firm was accused by the Securities and Exchange Commission of failing to uncover wrongdoings by some of its clients. Seidman was a partner in the accounting firm of Seidman & Seidman before being named economic advisor. Seidman was not named in the SEC charge. Retailers report that the volume of sales in the nation's major retail chain stores rose moderately in August. The rate of increases over August of last year ranged from over 4% for Montgomery Ward to over 21% for SS Kresge. And the stock market was mixed today in volume of 18,890,000 shares. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was off 1.16 at 984.79. That's the business barometer.
E-Radio News time, 4:51. Houston's weather, a low tonight near 70 and a high tomorrow, low 90s. Partly cloudy, 83 on the beach in Galveston, cloudy and 79 as you're driving home with Houston's largest radio news team from Key Radio News 85.
Hi there, Green Summers, and welcome to the Great Outdoors. Today we have another session of hints on plant care with that knowledgeable man of the soil, David Fowler. And here, surrounded by his beloved composted rice hulls, is our beloved plant doctor.
Yes, it is. I don't know about the beloved, but that's me. How are y'all? You know, that intro to this little program some days wears on me just a little bit. Okay, dear plant doctor. What am I doing wrong? We brought home three plants, Diffenbachia and two zebras. We repotted all three from the 10 cans that were in when I bought them. Well, one zebra, the dumb cane, have died, or at least are very close to it. I have to believe it was the way I repotted them that killed them. But I tried to be very careful. Although the 10 cans the plants came in were very hard to remove, some of the dirt did drop off the root systems. What do you think? What do you suggest? Ms. Lou Parson of Houston, Will, you're new to plants, huh? I think you're right about the repotting going in those two plants the way you did it. They lost very much dirt off the root systems. I'm not surprised they died or are going to. As for those 10 cans, sure to agree with you, they can be tough to remove. Why the plant places use them is beyond me. Except that's the way they buy the plants, that's bad. It really is important now when you're repotting to be sure that that dirt ball stays on the roots. Be sure you water the plant very well before you try to remove it from the original container. And if you buy many plants at all, get yourself a good pair of tin snips, all right? The idea of tapping the container, you know, on the edge of something to loosen the plants, all right, but it doesn't always work. Anyway, I found a long time ago the best way to repot plants. The real secret to repotting, and that is let somebody else do it who knows what you're doing. Dear plant doctor, I have a nice large jade plant. Keep it in the light, but not direct sunlight. I water it only infrequently, but it's dying. Now, you said they're easy to care for and offer very little trouble, but this one is on its way out. I surely hate to lose it. It is nearly 2 feet tall, and it's very pretty. Mrs. H.D. of Houston. Well, ma'am, I don't know. You didn't tell me enough about the symptoms on that jade. I can't figure from what you say what might be the problem. They are easy to take care of. They don't need much water. They don't even like much water, for that matter. I can only guess you might be overwatering, even though you think you're not. Or there's some kind of an infestation. I don't know. Surely you'd have mentioned that, wouldn't you, if you saw it? Maybe it needs to be repotted, talking about that. From the size of it, you say it's nearly 2 feet tall. If you've had it in the same container all the time you've had it, that could be it. Jades, though, usually pretty slow growers. However, repotting, less watering, that's all I can come up with based on what you told me. Remember, though, plants do die from time to time, and there are times when there's nothing you can do about it. I don't know. Repot, cut down on the water, see what happens. Or call or write me, will you, with little more detail on that. Dear plant doctor, would you mention again your reasons for not using plant foods on your plants? You said you don't like them. Says G.J. of Houston, I don't, but I've talked enough about that topic the last year. Dear plant doctor, I bought some bluebonnet seeds over the weekend, and per the instructions on the envelope, I just scattered them on the dirt out on the patio, and I watered them. Well, do you think they'll grow? F.T. of Houston? No, I don't think they will, but I can't say for sure. I'm batting zero right at the moment. Dear plant doctor, I know it's an old subject, but what are your opinions on talking to plants? I mean, do you think talking to them gently can help their growth? I happen to think it works. Mrs. Carl Julene of Houston. I don't know that either. I can tell you this, though. There have been a lot of experiments involving plants, attaching electrodes to the plants and looking at reactions of the plants on graph paper, sort of like a lie detector. The results have been stunning. No question at all, plants do indeed react to loud voices, to threats. In fact, there was one experiment, now this is true. They hooked the plant up to the electrodes. Another plant nearby was threatened with being burned with a match. And the plant that was hooked up to the electrodes reacted to that threat to the other plant. That's a fact. Sure does indicate to me plants indeed react to their environment, whatever it may be. However, I don't talk to the plants we've got, and they're doing pretty well. Very well, really. To each his own on that subject, though. A lot of disagreement there. All right, I thank you so much for listening to the plant doctor. This is David Fowler.
E-Radio News 85 kicks off the 1976 college football season with its broadcast of the Pittsburgh-Notre Dame contest Saturday, September the 11th at 3.05 p.m. Each Saturday, we'll be following the Fighting Irish, both home and away. Notre Dame football, all season long on Key Radio, plus the annual Army-Navy Classic Thanksgiving weekend. The best in college football, all season long, starting September the 11th. It's part of the season of surprises from Key Radio News 85.
Key Radio News, time 4:56. I'm Jarrett Day. An indictment has been returned in Tulsa, Oklahoma, against the Phillips Petroleum Company, its board chairman, William Martin, and two former company presidents. They're charged with conspiring to conceal corporate income. It's alleged that money was kept in Swiss bank accounts and also kept out of sight at company headquarters in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, to avoid taxation between 1963 and 1971. The indictment, returned by a federal grand jury, was announced by the Justice Department. Houston health officials say more cases of St. Louis encephalitis or sleeping sickness can be expected in Harris County in the next 3 or 4 weeks, despite springing efforts now going on to kill the Culex mosquitoes that carry the virus. Three more cases of the disease were confirmed by health officials yesterday. That brings the total for this year to 8, with 6 more suspected cases. No deaths have been attributed to the disease. All 3 new cases are described as being in satisfactory condition. Early this morning, 2 undercover vice officers in the 1700 block of Franklin heard a disturbance of some sort taking place at the El Tipo Club. Officers walked across the street to investigate. 2 Mexican-Americans in a yellow Chevy tried to run them down. One of the officers tried to shoot out their tires, missed, and away they went, with a sergeant in his private car in hot pursuit. The chase ended at Smith and the Southwest Freeway when the sergeant, from the belt-level window of a Honda Civic, shot out the fugitive's back tire.
He pointed his pistol at him, at which time he returned fire, striking the suspect's car tire, blew out the tire, and they wrecked the car and then left the scene.
Police are still looking for the fleet-footed young men. Key Radio is on the scene of that incident. A 35-year-old man has been charged with a stick-up at the San Jacinto Savings and Loan Office on the North Freeway yesterday. Martin C. Jimerson arrested late yesterday when a patrolman spotted the getaway car. He had about $800 on him. He's now being held on $100,000 bond, and police are looking for his alleged partner.
We've had a few more accidents this afternoon at the intersection of San Jacinto and Wheeler Street, Laura Coffey and Hirsch, also Telephone Road and Wayside Drive, 5600 block of Kemp, and also 2 on the Southwest Freeway, 1 at Kirby, 1 at Shepherd, both causing traffic to be very slow outbound on the Southwest Freeway this afternoon. Still have other minors at Fannin and Gray, 4700 block of Calhoun, and also at Lee and Edwards, and Westheimer at McHugh. Let's check out the east side of town now with Sarah Sharpless.
Outbound traffic on the east head starts slowing up, or in some cases stopping around Quitman, and that continues past Cavalcade. Outbound on the east head is heavy, but it is moving at the speed limit, and both north and southbound traffic on the east loop south is moving fine. Sarah Sharpless, Key Radio traffic.
Northbound on the north freeway, a lot of slow traffic up around Main Street and up to Airline, with Katy Freeway heavy at the loop and out through Bingle Road. Drive carefully in the Key Radio Traffic Center. I'm Jeff Miller.
U.S. Department of Commerce plans a business conference in Houston this month to deal with the effects of imports on jobs in the Houston market.
Statistics tell us that for every billion dollars worth of U.S. exports, there are approximately 45 to as high as 50,000 Americans put to work or kept working as a result of that amount, that billion of dollars being exported from the United States.
Felix Guerrero, the local district office of the Commerce Department, says the conferences will determine whether it would be best for this country to give more attention to those programs which stimulate programs of export, or to let the programs wind down and search for another method to promote jobs in America. Partly cloudy skies and 83 on the beach in Galveston. Cloudy skies and 79 in Houston. I'm Jarrett Day, Key Radio, News 85.
It's time now for the latest news, brought to you by La Vendage, Houston's only French-style steakhouse. This is continuing news from KEYH Houston.
Key Radio News, time 5 o'clock.
Secretary of State Henry Kissinger met with UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim today before his weekend talks with South African Prime Minister John Vorster. Later, Kissinger told reporters he may follow up his weekend talks with other African leaders.
There is a possibility that I will go to discuss the issues, especially of Namibia and Rhodesia, with the President of Black African States. And see whether some progress can be made. I don't think a final solution of these issues is likely in the very near future. But if I believe that some progress can be made, I may undertake the trip. I have no plan now to talk with Jan Smith, and I consider it almost out of the question that I would be meeting with him.
Ian Smith is the Prime Minister of Rhodesia.
If you're having a birthday this month, you are cordially invited to La Vendage Restaurant at 2303 Richmond. If this is your month to have a birthday, La Vendage, Houston's only French-style steakhouse, will serve you one free entree, minimum party of two. It's a great delight to visit La Vendage Restaurant anytime, but especially so if this month is your birthday. If it is, you have a free entree coming with a minimum party of two. La Vendage Restaurant, 2303 Richmond, phone 523-1982.
President Ford is said to be pushing his Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare for assurances the swine flu inoculation program will operate properly. Ford summoned HEW Secretary David Matthews to the White House today to discuss the subject. Earlier today, there were reports there would not be enough vaccine for all Americans when the program begins next month. School began in Dayton, Ohio today under a new court-ordered busing plan. Associated Press correspondent George Esper visited with students during their first day of school and has this report.
Dunbar High School is named in honor of Paul Lawrence Dunbar, a black poet from Dayton, Ohio. A year ago, it was predominantly black, with only two white students out of an enrollment of 1,200. But today, it was desegregated under court order as white students were bused in from another district. The school principal, David L. Williams, a black himself, said the first day went smoothly, but white attendance was off, with only a little more than half of the number of white students enrolled showing up. He said that parents apparently were playing it cautiously, waiting to see if there would be any incidents. He predicted that attendance would pick up when school resumes next week. George Esper, Dayton, Ohio.
The Hudson Pharmaceutical Company has agreed not to advertise its vitamins on children's television shows. According to Leonard McGinnis, spokesman for the Federal Trade Commission, the company agreed with the FTC order to stop the commercials.
The consent order prohibits Hudson from advertising children's vitamins through television and print ads whose dominant appeal is to children, ads appearing in comic books, and ads sent through the mail and addressed to children.
A consumer group in Boston called Action for Children's Television had challenged the vitamin commercials. This is Associated Press Radio News. On Wall Street today,
La Vendage Restaurant at 2303 Richmond is now offering something new. La Vendage will continue to serve the finest in French food Monday through Saturday, and La Vendage will continue to serve their tempting lunches between 11:30 a.m. and 2 p.m., and their great dinners between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. But what about the period between 2 and 7 p.m.? That's what's new, because now you can take a break. Yes, come in to La Vendage between 2 and 7 p.m. and enjoy a glass of wine, imported beer, and delicious French cheese or other light snacks from their cold plate. Yes, La Vendage at 2303 Richmond will continue to serve you lunch and dinner in the style that you've made popular here in Houston. But now you can also drop in any day, Monday through Saturday, and relax with something light to eat or drink between the hours of 2 and 7 p.m. There is something new under the sun, and it's at La Vendage, 2303 Richmond.
The rain fell over portions of Texas again today, and flash flood warnings have been posted for tonight in areas of northeastern Texas. Showers and thunderstorms extended through parts of the lower Mississippi Valley along the Gulf Coast and from the central Appalachians across the northern half of the Atlantic Coast. Skies were sunny today over most of the Plain States, the central Rockies, and the southwest. It was cloudy in the northwest. That's the news from the Associated Press Radio News Center in Washington. This is Mark Huffman.
The news has been brought to you by La Vendage, Houston's only French-style steakhouse.
E-Radio News time, 5:05. I'm Mike Byrne. This morning, Dr. Albert Randall told Key Radio that he would not be surprised to see a few more cases of St. Louis encephalitis on the books in Houston before the worst is over. And this afternoon, just a few moments ago to be exact, Health Department spokesperson Glenda Renner added two more cases to the roster.
We've got two more confirmed cases of St. Louis encephalitis. They are a 48-year-old man who lives in far west Houston, south of Memorial Drive, and a 48-year-old man who lives in southwest Houston, just north of the Southwest Freeway. Both of these men have been treated and released from local hospitals, so they've been all right. So this brings our total now to 10 confirmed cases and 6 suspected ones.
Possibly the best way to avoid coming down with the disease is to stay indoors at night while the mosquitoes are out making their rounds. Assistant County Attorney Anthony Shepard is hot over a Justice Department investigation over Harris County hiring practices. Concerning the hiring of attorneys of minority descent, Shepard says to the Fed, cast ye not the first stone. The
United States Justice Department has 3,511 attorneys as of May 1976, and only 18 of these are Mexican-American. Only 98 of these 3,500 attorneys are black. Only 335 of these 3,500 attorneys are female, and nearly all of the females are white. So the county's position is that they better clean up their own act before they come down here and start trouble with us.
The Fed has okayed the county's ratio of blacks and Mexican-Americans in the hiring arena, but is still investigating the number of women on the payroll. The county responds that it has 10% more women employed than federal guidelines require. The Howard Hughes will hearing in the probate court of Judge Pat Gregory is over for the preliminary stage of the game. As Attorney General John Hill left the courtroom this morning, Key Radio's Ed Weinstock asked him about the action.
All of the relevant issues in this Hughes will contest, including domicile, including the issue of estoppel by adoption that's being asserted by some of the heirs, all of those issues he indicated he would try here in Texas, inasmuch as those who are now apparently not too happy about being in Texas are the very ones who invoked the jurisdiction of this court, and he intends to go forward with it.
A trial date for December 6th had been requested of Judge Gregory. However, the judge deferred, saying he would rather wait and see how the discovery proceedings go before setting a trial date. The creation of the Harris-Galveston Coastal Subsidence District has accelerated the construction of the system for delivering fresh water to Houston Ship Channel Industries. And Allison Ellison, the assistant director of the City Water Division, says the channel industries are the ones most needy of the water that that system will provide. Ultimately, the subsidence district is trying to shut down well pumping operations to prevent the further sinking of land in this area.
There's no question with the activity of the subsidence district and the subsidence problem, we have to go to surface water as much as we can. We have sufficient water in our plans that will go past the year 2000.
The vehicle for transporting that water is the Coastal Industrial Water Authority and the big pipeline it is building from the Trinity River on down to the channel area. Relatives of a woman who died 2 years ago have accused a Houston cemetery of misplacing her body and then burying it under the wrong grave marker.
In a $5,000 damage suit filed in state court yesterday, the late Della Mae Vermillion's husband, daughter, and sister said she was not buried immediately because a family plot was not ready. Instead, they said, the body was interred in a mausoleum from which it later disappeared. The suit said the body finally was located in a grave marked with a man's name, whereupon the mistake was corrected by disinterment and transportation to another grave by pickup truck. Officials of Woodlawn Gardens of Memory Cemetery, the defendants, were unavailable for comment. Key Radio News Time, 5:09, I'm Mike Byrd.
Traffic is building up this afternoon. It's going to be pretty heavy no matter where you happen to be, but especially so if you're over on the North Freeway. Builds up from town all the way up through the North Loop interchange. It's after 5, as you know, and things happen to be that way. You might want to use Fulton, Airline, or North Main Street as your alternate roads out of town. And once you're north of Airline Drive, the North Freeway does begin to make pretty good speed. Northwest Freeway, a little bit slow as you get off at 34th Street. Katy Freeway having its problems out around Washington Street, the West Loop towards Dingle Road. West Loop northbound, as usual, it's stacked up from about Richmond all the way up through Memorial Drive and almost as far as the Katy Freeway. And we're getting a little bit of heavy traffic, or should I say a lot, really, from about Buffalo Speedway out through West Park and the Southwest Freeway. Some heavy traffic also coming out of downtown because of those earlier accidents around Shepherd and Kirby. For a report on the Gulf Freeway, let's check out Sarah Sharpless.
The Gulf Freeway outbound starts stacking up a little at Cullen, then it breaks up and traffic moves fairly well until around Wayside, and then it starts stacking up again. Traffic on the 59 elevated, though, is moving fine. Sarah Sharpless, Key Radio Traffic.
We still have accidents reported at San Jacinto and Wheeler, Laura Coffey at Hirsch, Telephone Road and Wayside Drive, and also on the 5600 block of Kemp Street. So drive carefully in the Key Radio Traffic Center. I'm Jeff Miller.
If you have radial tires, here's an important development in shock absorbers you should consider. All Monroe shocks are designed with radial valving. That means Monroe will give you the good ride your radial tires were designed for. And if you have regular bias ply tires, Monroe will give you the same smooth ride and stable control. Because Monroe heavy-duty shocks have 6 valve stages that adjust automatically to the load or road. You'll feel the difference over worn shocks, whether you have radial or bias ply tires. And you'll be enjoying the quality that comes from a name like Monroe, the world's leading manufacturer of shock absorbers. Get the best ride possible from your radial or bias ply tires. Replace those worn shocks with a full set of heavy-duty Monroe Matic, Super 500, or load leveler stabilizing units. From Monroe, first in shock. You'll feel the difference. Get heavy-duty Monroe Matic at just $8.95 up at Terry's Auto Supply, 10515 FM 1960.
And they brought you this hour's traffic report from Jeff and Sarah. Key Radio News, time 5:12. Houston's weather, partly cloudy and warm with a chance of afternoon and evening thundershowers, some locally heavy through Friday. South winds at 8 to 14 and gusty near thundershowers. A high today and tomorrow, low 90s, the low tonight near 70. Probability of rain is 50% this afternoon, 20% tonight, 40% Friday. For Galveston Bay and vicinity, for the boating and recreational interests, southerly winds at 10 to 15 through Friday with the bay waters slightly choppy to occasionally choppy. Radar weather at this hour indicating showers and a few thunderstorms scattered from the Louisiana state line north of Beaumont across Lake Sam, Rayburn to Lufkin. A few showers and thundershowers between Beaumont and Lake Houston. Also along the coast between Freeport and Palacios, and inland about 50 miles, showers moving slowly to the north. Barometric pressure still falling, 30.02 inches, winds out of the north-northeast at 5, relative humidity 79%, partly cloudy and 84 on the beach in Galveston, cloudy skies and 81 at Key Radio News 85.
What am I going to do? My eyes are a permanent shade of red, and my sinuses are about to explode. My head feels like it's been to a taxidermist.
It's the combination of pollution and pollen. Ragweed season is headed our way.
How am I going to survive it? I don't want to move out of Houston.
One of the best solutions for your problem would be an electronic filter for your air conditioner. And there's a dealer right here in Houston you can depend on.